All right. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 30. This is the latter part of the chapter that really sort of gives you all of the kids that are born outside of the land of Israel. Okay, remember, of the 12 sons, only one of them is actually born in the land. That's the 12th son, and his name is Benjamin. Genesis chapter 30, beginning in verse 22. And let me just say right here, if you're taking notes, you need to make a note right here that simply says, Joseph changes everything. The arrival of Joseph is a monumental moment in human history. Okay? Let me show it to you in verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel and gave heed to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. She named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord give me another son. In verse 22, the Bible says that God remembered Rachel. The ancient tradition of the sages is that this moment that he remembered her just 10 days ago, we blew the shofar and we talked about how when you sound the shofar, maybe we didn't that night, but one of the significances of sounding the shofar is that God told the children of Israel, when you blow it, I will remember. I will remember my covenant with you. It's sort of like we talked a lot about how the shofar, the sounding of the trumpet, wakes us up, but it also serves as a reminder to God. And if you've ever heard the shofar really sounded well, not like the other night where a bunch of sick cattle came running, when you really hear it sounded, it's awe-inspiring. Now, I know this guy who can put two of them in his mouth at once, the big ones, and it's something. I mean, you just feel like you start reaching for your sword, you know, you're just ready to go to war or something. It's a very exhilarating thing, but it doesn't just arouse and awake us. God says it causes him to remember that he is in a covenant relationship with his people. And so the tradition is that this remembrance of Rachel is a byproduct of God ultimately remembering his promise to Abraham. All right? And this took place at the blowing of the shofar. And if you'll remember, we talked about Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the new year. Remember what I just said? The arrival of Joseph changes everything. The arrival of Joseph, if this is true, then coincides with the birthday of the year, which points us to the rebirth of the world and how Joseph is going to be used to ultimately bring that rebirth about. Verse 23, it says, the name Joseph comes from the word Yasaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H, and it means to gather, because she said, God has taken away my reproach, but literally it's like that God has gathered to himself my reproach, and he's removed it. Does that sound familiar? Isaiah 53 says that Yeshua gathers or takes our sin upon himself. He is the one who removes our shame, the shame of our sin. So Joseph, right off the bat, even from his name, is beginning to become a picture of the life and ministry of Jesus. He is going to be the one who's going to gather away our disgrace. But she doesn't name him Yasaph, she names him Joseph, which means to add another son. So even as Rachel is rejoicing over the birth of this son, she is prophetically, prayerfully asking that God would add another, because she knew that Jacob was to have 12 sons. So Rachel's prayer is that God is going to add another son, and the Hebrew there can actually be understood to mean a different son, a son of a different character. And Benjamin was in fact different than all of his brothers because he was born in the Holy Land. And just to add a little emphasis to him, just as a sidebar, most people, if you ask them, if you go to Israel and you say, where was the temple of God? What tribal land did it stand in? Most people immediately assume that the temple was in the land of Judah. It was not. It was in the land of Benjamin. All right? The only son born in the Holy Land itself. So he bears a lot of significance. Well, we're going to be doing a lot of typology of Joseph's life when we get to chapter 7, so I don't want to say too much about it now, but just understand that there is something very, very important about this 11th son. When he shows up, things begin to change in Jacob's life. I can prove it to you. Look at verse 25. Now it came about when Rachel had borne Joseph. Notice that the scripture takes time to tell us that it is the arrival of Joseph that is about to be really the backdrop for what's about to happen. That Jacob then said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place, to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you. Let me depart, for you yourself know my service, which I have rendered you. Why now? What made Jacob suddenly decide that now he could return home? You know, and on top of that, why would you want to return home right now? Because quite honestly, Jacob doesn't have diddly. He's got lots of kids. He's got enough to get by. But if he leaves, he's got this great big huge family and no way to support him. What is it that happened that made him think, now is the time I can go back? And let's remember, why is he in Padan Aram anyway? There's two reasons. One, he's there to get a wife. What's the other reason? He's there to get away from Esau. The real barrier to going back is Esau. He's already got the godly wives, so how come he hasn't gone ahead and gone back? And what is it about the arrival of Joseph that makes him think now's the time?